Austin Hayen, and he will be talking about the impact of planting date and seeding rate on the severity of target spot in cotton.
I see I have a heckler in the front row. Okay, we're going to continue a little more with target spot. I'm just going to summarize two trials, that one of which was run in southwest Alabama, and the other one was run in central Alabama outside of Montgomery. 5 years ago we wouldn't have had one talk about target spot. Now we have a whole section, so we're kind of getting a little repetitive here. But anyway, we've already introduced the disease. I will say that the defoliation rate is amazingly rapid under the right conditions on some varieties of cotton. In southwest Alabama in particular, we pretty well established that almost every trial that we run down there, we see a significant yield loss. These are just the linear models for four trials we're running Fairhope this past year, and the R-square values go from a low of 0.13, but it's still significant, up to 0.68. So a very nice tight data grouping in some trials. Some of it's not so good. But, the late yield loss at Fairhope routinely can get up to about 300 pounds per acre on phytogen 499. And there are certain, over the years, predisposing factors. We've already discussed variety effects. As plant pathologists, we're always looking for tolerant or resistant varieties as a means of managing a disease of this sort because of the cost of the fungicides. There is a major impact of rainfall and irrigation. I actually don't think you could irrigate your way into a target spot outbreak. But if you're in an area where you get frequent showers, particularly in July and August, maybe add a little bit of periodic irrigation and the disease will develop very rapidly. We've already had someone went into growth rates of cotton and rate of canopy closure down in that area of the state. We tend to get very large plants, and canopy closure occurs about the first or second week of bloom, and so we have a very favorable plant growth environment for disease development. Now, as I mentioned before, we're trying to find some other management options or production practices that we can utilize to try and manage this disease without having to resort to fungicides. And just over the last few years, I thought I noticed that planting date had an impact in that maybe if the cotton was maturing a little bit later, maybe into September, when it's generally a drier and somewhat cooler weather pattern, we would have less target spot. And so that's one of the issues that's addressed in one of these presentations, or part of this presentation. Another was seeding rate. The idea being you have fewer plants per unit area, maybe the canopy is not as tight, you have a less favorable canopy, microclimate environment, maybe you'll have less disease. Now, I will say at this point in time, if you go read recommendations for planting cotton, they'll talk about 3 to 4 seed per foot a row. Nobody plants 4 seed per foot a row. They're down at 2. So in essence, this is already a moot point, but it still is something to look at. One thing we've talked about doing and haven't done yet is modifying canopy architecture with plant growth regulators. That's something that does need to be looked at. Of course, we have tolerant varieties, and the last thing is the use of fungicides. So this particular set of studies, the first one was look at seeding rates on two cotton varieties. And I also, when I do these trials, I include a chemical umbrella positive fungicide control. In other words, we spray the living daylights out of it, hoping that we have as little defoliation related to target spot as possible. And the other test was looking at planting date effects on three different varieties, and this was at a separate location. So the first test, the seeding rate, was at Gulf Coast. It was a factorial study. The two varieties were 499 and at Delta Pine 1555. The seating rates are listed there. I did make a mistake in not doing stand counts, so we'll probably do this again next year, and we will get stand counts. I tend to take 1 to 10 defoliation ratings and then convert those to percent defoliation. It's just quicker and easier for me to do it that way when you have a lot of trials to rate on a given day. We use proclimics to try and separate out the significance of interaction and treatment effects. A lot of the disease data and the ball rot or ball damage data that we take, it's all non-normal. So we use proc ranks in those situations, and we use mean separation with Fisher's Protected. So the first factor I wanted to touch on, and we don't have a pointer, is we looked at Paraxor versus the control. We had an interaction with cotton variety fungicide program. And again, we've seen this before. We have more defoliation on 499. The Paraxor here actually is three applications, did a really nice job in suppressing disease. A similar reduction on Delta Pine 1555, but again, the level of defoliation was consistently lower for each of the categories on 1555 than on 499. So that's kind of what you'd expect to see. The only other point I wanted to make on defoliation had to do with seeding rate. Didn't matter how many seed were out there, we got the same amount of defoliation across both varieties and fungicide programs. So that didn't have any effect at all. We don't have the gin out rates yet, but basically the yields were the same for the two varieties. We did get a seeding rate effect at the 10% level, so yield went up as we put more seed out there. And the fungicide Paraxor did improve yield over the non-fungicide treated control across both varieties. Did bowl assess counts, and we looked at open, unopened, locked, that's hard locked, and rotted bowl numbers out there. And with the open and unopened bowls, nothing happened. They're all the same across all the treatments. But we had a lot of hard lock this year. And there was less hard lock on 499 than there was on the 1555. But surprisingly, the seeding rate didn't make an effect, nor did the fungicide program. So no help there with trying to suppress hard lock with three applications of Paraxor. And there was a difference in the number of rotted bowls between the two varieties, but otherwise the seeding rate didn't have any effect, and nor did the fungicide program. And there was no noticeable bacterial blight out in this trial. It was clean. The second study is a planting date study, and we did this near at E.B. Smith near Montgomery. So we're in a much drier environment at E.B. Smith than we are in Fairhope. I think in the summer, this past summer, we had only one rain event over a three-month period where we got an inch of rain. It was irrigated strategically, but it wasn't overwatered. So those are the three varieties we used. 499 was probably the latest maturing of that bunch. We had two planting dates at 2 seeds per foot a row. The Paraxor, again, was used instead of 8 ounces. It was 6 ounces, and there were three applications, but they weren't timed together properly. We'll have to fix that next year so that the applications go out at the same stage of growth, and the disease assessment and statistics were the same as already described. So this is the planting date and the level of defoliation out there with the three varieties, no difference. Even though 499 is real sensitive on the early planted cotton, by the first week in September, no differences among those treatments. Now there was at the later planting date, 499 had more defoliation than the other two varieties. And that's pretty consistent with what we've seen with these varieties in the past, that 499, it has a lot more disease than just about anything else we look at. You look at the fungicide program, I mean, there's almost no defoliation out there at the first rating for the first planting, and there is a bit more at the second, and you can see that at the second, even the Paraxor treated had about the same much as the non-treated control at the earlier planting date. So there was an interaction between variety and fungicide program, and we got a reduction on with all of the with all the varieties out there, and but we got probably certainly the largest with the 499, and there's with the 499 sprayed, it has the same amount of defoliation as the other two varieties unsprayed. The yield response was really good for the first planting date. No differences among varieties. There were no interactions between variety and fungicides at this point in time or planting dates. I'm sorry, there was one for planting date, and there were lower yields for all three varieties at the second planting date, with the 1538 having a higher yield than 444. And we actually did get a yield bump out of the fungicide program as compared with the non-treated control, which is a bit of a surprise given the low level of defoliation that developed in this particular trial. And this is just the bulb counts on 3.2 feet a row. And the reason why we got a yield bump out of the early planting date is a 20% difference in the number of open bulbs. No difference among the varieties, but the Pyraxor actually had, in this case, more open bulbs than did the non-treated control. That's something you don't see a whole lot of. No differences in the unopened bulbs. The lock bulb lows numbers, are lower, a lot lower at this location than they were down in Fairhope, which is an indication of the rainfall patterns that we had. There were some differences in varieties. No difference to the fungicide, and a little higher number with 444. For the number of rotted bulbs as well. So it had a little more of a bulb rot issue in it than the other two varieties. So, you know, at least this is the first year of doing these two trials, but it certainly showed that the reduce of the seeding rate isn't going to be any help. You know, we do have differences among varieties. That's always something we're looking for, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in the next presentation. But 1555 certainly had less target spot in it than 499. There was more defoliation in the later planted cotton, which is something I've seen in peanuts before. If you have to do a planting date study, given the increased inoculum in a small area, you're always going to have more leaf spotting and defoliation on the later planting. So the way to avoid it is actually to plant early, not to plant later. So I got taught that lesson again. There were lower yields in the second to first planting in that data planting test. That it may have been weather related or, you know, less conducive conditions to just maturing out the bulbs. But we did get yield gains from both of the fungicide programs. So that was a bit of a surprise, particularly at the second location where the disease pressure was relatively low.